Welcome to Community Forum, a weekly call-in program produced at the studios of KSKA. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. And now, the host of Community Forum, Nellie Moore.
Good afternoon. It's another fantastic day in South Central Alaska, and today we're going to have some interesting discussions. My guest today in the studio, from the Department of Journalism and Public Communications at UAA, the chair, Dr. Fred Pierce. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Nellie.
And also associate professor from Journalism and Public Communications at UAA, Edgar Blatchford. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Former newsman, we know you from Anchorage Edition. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to talk about today is what makes a story, when does a story, or what some people liken to stories, become a real story or not, or whatever. In today's world of the internet, it's pretty hard to tell with all the blogging and the bloggers and the unconfirmed reports floating around. And we'd like to know what you think, especially in light of what's happening in the presidential and vice presidential campaign and Sarah Palin's leap into stardom. Can we call it stardom?
Oh, certainly is.
I wanted to, let's see here, read a message I got on email real quickly from Jackie. People seeking and holding highest office are naturally highly driven individuals, but they must have their ambitions of campaigning and governing tempered by good judgment. The McCain-Palin team has not been demonstrating good judgment. McCain's first important decision as a nominee was his hasty choice of Palin. Palin's poor judgment began with a string of poor decisions slash abuse of power in the Troopergate debacle, her airline travel in the latest stages of her pregnancy, and the Palin's decision into forced childhood marriage for her pregnant daughter. I have the impression that McCain and Palin are still adolescents. They're consistently exhibiting terrible judgment about important decisions. Fred, you're the doctor.
Well.
Give us a, what do you call it when a doctor figures out what you have?
It was an interesting decision. It depends on which aisle, side of the aisle you sit on. I think the thing that's impressed me with the coverage and the discourse at this point is that the Democrats predictably are taking one side of the equation and the Republicans are taking the other. We, of course, have the perspective of being hometown representatives. So we have seen the governor in all her glory and all her foibles. So I think it's interesting to me. I'm looking forward to her speech tonight because she obviously has to address a lot of these issues. Mm-hmm. So my perspective is I'm trying to look at this from the standpoint of how the story is being covered in its multiple facets, multiple technologies. And I think as I was on my way over, I was thinking back to, say, the Republican convention of 1952, in which before television, nobody knew any of this, and the number of conventions in which there were essentially backroom decisions regarding the political elite. We now live in an era in which everything is wide open. Mm-hmm. I saw a blog this morning in which some young fellow, maybe 25 or 30, was just a tirade against Governor Palin. And, my perspective was, well, he's not a neighbor. He's not a son or a relative. And here's somebody from 1,000 miles away or 500 miles away, whatever, absolutely convinced that he was right. And yet the medium allows that. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of noise about this. And I'm trying to take the perspective, let's see what the coverage is. And personally, as a voter, I'm trying to take a step back and say, well, what does this mean on one side or the other? So.
Sure. And Connie just reminded me this afternoon, All Things Considered will air on KSKA from 4 to 5. And tonight, KSKA will broadcast Alaska News Nightly at 5 p.m. And that will be followed by the Republican National Convention coverage from NPR. Sarah Palin is expected to speak at 6:30 our time. Marketplace is scheduled to follow convention coverage, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Edgar, I wanted to talk a little more about what Fred just said. How does your average Joe you know, sort through all of this information. I mean, some people may not be familiar with blogs, and they may read one and think it's true.
Well, what I see happening is that their communication is freer, is more open, it's more transparent. And when Governor Palin ran for election as governor of our state, she said that she wanted transparency in government, and that is certainly what she is getting right now. This is a very exciting story all across the country. Folks want to know about Sarah. They're captivated by her attractiveness and her family life and the issues of governing a faraway appendage to the North American continent called the state of Alaska. So these are very, very exciting times for Alaskans, and Alaskans here are on the forefront of this huge national debate. But what we have to do is we have to keep in mind that journalism and public discussion, it's the only thing that's journalism is the only profession or trade, if you want to call it that, that's protected and promoted by the U.S. Constitution, freedom of press, mm-hmm. Freedom of speech. So Americans can say just about anything they want. Unlike the old days where you had a single newspaper, or maybe there were two newspapers in a small town like Anchorage had all the way up until the early 1990s, the debate was centered on what the editorial pages said about the issues and what the publishers or the editors put on their front page. Now it's all different. Every person who has a laptop can be a mass communicator, and this is an exciting time for Alaska. You know, Alaska's on the front stage, and our governor is on the front stage.
Mm-hmm. And even more so this evening. I understand for the last couple of days she's kind of been out of sight as she's being briefed and working on her speech she's going to deliver tonight, which everybody is looking forward to. And so I'm sure the Internet's going to be jammed this evening, and so will all the television watchers. What about that, Fred? Are we going to, like, blow the Internet tonight?
Well, I hope not. it's truly an anticipated speech, and she is a gifted speaker. So it will be very interesting to see what message is crafted, how she crafts the message. I think Edgar is absolutely right. What we've got here is an explosion of information, and, again, these things tend to leap forward almost like in dog years, in the sense that the conventions of 2004, did not have YouTube phenomena. It was in its mm-hmm. infancy, but so what you have is everybody has an opinion, and I think Edgar's absolutely right. They're all protected. I think it's incumbent upon the voter to decide which voices have some degree of credibility. Mm-hmm. And I think that the notion as a governor of a small state and as mayor of a small city, therefore she either is qualified or is not. And what I find most interesting is that there seem to be very few people that I've run across whose minds are open. You know, let's mm-hmm. see it play mm-hmm. out. Most people mm-hmm. are just charging one to the other. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you'd expect that just following the Democrat National Convention as well. So,
mm-hmm. Let's see here. I wanted to ask you before we go to the phones here, as far as the latest news, first of all, that came out about Sarah Palin was on the blog, they were saying, well, baby Trigg is not Sarah's baby, it's really Bristol's baby. And then they were gossiping that Bristol was pregnant, and then the Palins say they came out and made the announcement because they wanted to clear it up, but in fact Bristol is in fact pregnant, and her boyfriend, husband-to-be, is now joining the family at the convention. And earlier today on television we saw pictures of him being welcomed by John McCain and with open arms, apparently. So things are moving right along as Sarah Palin can make them move.
For a nation that consumes People magazine in greater numbers than the New York Times, I think it's to be expected.
And I'm sorry, I had kind of lost my train of thought earlier. I wanted to say was, many people poo-poo or They either love or they hate the National Enquirer. And the National Enquirer broke the story about John Edwards. And all the other people were like, no way, that could not happen.
If I might respond to that, you know, what is happening, I think, in journalism is that everybody can be a mass communicator. All you need is a laptop. You don't even need to own a laptop. You just have to have access to a computer, and you can be a mass communicator. What we have happening in the country now is that, and some people, I suppose, and I've heard it, you know, here in Anchorage, is that it's the New York Times or it's the Anchorage Daily News or it's the Seattle Times or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that's driving the story. I don't think so. I think it's the bloggers. And the opening question here was, what makes a story a story? A story is an interesting story. It's a story that appeals to folks. And then in journalism, what you have is that the obligation to report what is happening in the community. So rather than the newspapers driving this story, I think it's the bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
They put the issue out front about the Palin family, the details of the inner workings of the Palin family, and now it's national news. And the thing about Governor Palin is that we have a very small press corps here in Alaska, and we often skip over some of the discussions that go on in public bodies because we don't have the people to report what's happening at a community meeting, at an official public meeting. It could be a city council meeting, could be a state legislative assembly meeting. It's all of those issues. What comes out of it is dependent on that one person who has access to the masses to communicate with more than one. And in this day and age, it's mass communication. You know, there used to be a saying that watch out, big government is watching. Now it's little brother is watching. Everybody's a little brother. Everybody's a little sister. We're all watching each other. And this is the era of mass communication instantaneously everywhere.
Photos on your telephone being sent around. Anyway, if you want to join in the discussion today, we're talking about what makes a story, and my guest today here in the studio, Dr. Fred Pierce and Edgar Blatchford from UAA's Department of Journalism and Public Communications. Give us a call if you'd like to make some comments, 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or our toll-free is 1-888-353-5752. And you can also email at communityforum@kska.org. We're going to go now to Julie on line 9. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have several points. I'll be very quick. I'm truly appalled by how the news media has been failing to focus on the fact that Governor Palin has never, ever shown any grasp of or even any interest in important foreign issues. I understand that because the tabloid press is so popular, they're focusing on this silly nonsense about children and ancient DWIs and so forth like that. But I'm just stunned that so little of the press is focusing on her, how ill-prepared she is for handling important foreign issues. And I'm stunned that the media didn't laugh out loud at the McCain campaign's assertion that somehow she's equipped to deal with, say, the complex issues of the former Soviet Union merely because she lives next door to Russia, when, in fact, in Alaska, great many government officials and business people and ordinary people have traveled to the Soviet Far East, the Russian Far East. Governor Palin hasn't. Governor Palin's never shown any interest, unlike previous governors, in going to Asia for trade agreement talks or developing scientific and educational ties with Russia, our neighbor. So it's just appalling to me that the media has so much that they could be focusing on that's substantive and that they're not. And one of your guests said a few minutes ago, made a reference to looking forward to seeing how Palin will be crafting her speech for tonight, when it's clear that even the McCain campaign admits that she's not writing her speech. Her speech is being written for her, for the people to be able to judge what Sarah Palin knows and doesn't know, or grasp and cannot grasp about foreign affairs, they're going to need to have really vigorous interviews by non-fawning press like Fox News, and they're going to need to have some serious substantive debates, vice presidential debates. There's a great many of us looking forward to something like that. We want to hear what would Governor Palin have to say about American monetary policy, the role of the Federal Reserve Bank, the situation in Kosovo, the situation in Georgia, the future threats to the free flow of oil through Azerbaijan. We're not getting the news media focusing on hardly any of these important issues that appear to be far beyond the grasp of Governor Palin. No one doubts that she's a nice person. No one doubts that increasing the oil company's taxes is a good thing. But for someone who's been in office less than 2 years and has had nothing to do with foreign interests, it reminds a great many of us about how when George Bush was governor of Texas, he had never shown any interest in foreign affairs ever in his lifetime. And look where that got us.
Okay, there are some pretty meaty comments there, Fred. You're the teacher of many journalists. How do we get at those very important details? At what point should we be getting to them journalists?
Well, I think there has been some discussion, but I think the basic issue right now is this whole event is only 5 or 6 days old. So right now, people are looking at this from the standpoint of People magazine. It's an exciting new personality that emerged out of the deep mists. No one had ever heard of Sarah Palin. Suddenly, she's the object of attention. I would expect that in the next month and a half or 2 months, the very scrutiny that the caller suggested should be applied, will be applied. Whether the McCain-Palin ticket is able to basically withstand that scrutiny is an entirely different story. The other thing I would point out is I'm sure it's the case that there are very few paths to preparation for the presidency or the vice presidency. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, you're hearing a debate going on. It depends on which side of the aisle you are. But that being mayor of a town, executive director of a town, and then of a state is the kind of preparation. So that's the one argument that's coming predictably from the McCain side. And the other is it's a town of 6,500, and it's a very small state.
I think some papers have referred to it as a village.
I won't tell you what I once described it as. It was reflective of when you drive through, you have the sense that it's more but it's an evolving town, and mm-hmm. The other issue is, of course, that while there is no path, again, predictably, you can fall down on either side of the equation, that either the executive privilege that she has had in only 2 or 3 years or 5 years, including Mayor Wasilla, has prepared her to make executive decisions or not. And so I would suspect that this is a 5 or 6 day old story, that in the next couple of months leading up to the election, this is exactly the kind of scrutiny that the responsible media will apply. And mm-hmm. I think that's what you're going to be seeing. So right now, it's just the circus. I would assume that in the next couple of months, you're going to see more thoughtful pieces, more thoughtful analysis from the responsible media, be that independent media or be it the national press. The other thing I want to point out, something Edgar said, he said this is being driven by the bloggers. I always like to point out it's really being driven by us as a culture. If we didn't like this stuff, if we were firm in our conviction that certain things were off limits, we would not get that. So it's kind of like when people complain about television in general or radio or, mm-hmm. or newspapers. We are what we eat. So we confirm the decisions that the editors make every day. And when we don't confirm those things, those institutions go out of business pretty quickly. So obviously this is striking a chord with the American viewing public and the American reading public. And it seems to be the case that people really like some of this dirt and some of this excitement. So it's not an elevating a reflection of who we are and our best selves, but mm-hmm. it's certainly the mm-hmm. case that if we turned off our TVs or didn't buy the newspapers, whatever, the editors would get that message very quickly. There's certain things off limit, they'd be off limit.
Yeah. One thing I'd just suggest here is that Senator McCain took a big risk promoting Sarah Palin to the vice presidency spot. Not too much is known about her, even here in Alaska. And she is of intense media interest because so little is known about her. And what has happened is that Senator McCain has basically thrown the dice and he has said it's going to turn up all right. And this is what the press wants to find out, whether McCain has that extraordinary ability to find someone, pluck someone out of the crowd and promote that person to be vice president of the United States, whether this is good judgment. That's the big question here. And you have folks all over the country, you know, energized by the discussion that Fred mentioned, that we have a small town mayor in a small state, which is far, far away from the mainland, whether that person is qualified to be vice president of the United States. We must never forget that McCain is he's 72 years old. He's had at least one bout with cancer. And, you know, it is a extremely important question every voter, every American has to ask. Is this person qualified to succeed the presidency in the event that the president is unable to complete the office? That's the big discussion going on right now. And one further point is not a lot is known about, you know, Alaska. And Alaska has always been of great interest. And we live in igloos in Alaska. There are only Eskimos and we all eat caribou.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, you know, if you read, if you watch some of the news channels, that is what they're promoting Sarah as. You know, she's a hunter. She's
a moose burger.
She's a fisher. Her husband's a snowmobiler. All that Alaskan-ness, the stereotypical Alaskan image, and the McCain campaign has reached around that, grabbed and embraced it.
Very interesting. I noticed that what about the business with Joe Lieberman? When McCain had been toying with the idea of naming Joe Lieberman as his vice presidential pick, I think essentially delegates said, if you appoint Lieberman, we're out of here. And, you know, political threats were made, and that's where Sarah Palin came in.
Well, I think that's right. I think the base of the party, the social conservatives, needed to be placated. So it is a roll of the dice. There's no question about that. But it probably was necessary. The notion that all candidates will move to the center, I think, is that just a notion. So, you know, from the standpoint, there are people who are absolutely giddy about her choice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here we have, again, this kind of bifurcation of thought in which you have, you know, the folks on the Democrat side just coming out of their convention on a high. You know, candidate Obama wowed them. He gave a great speech. You know, things went very well. Here comes Senator McCain upstaging that process a bit,
mm-hmm.
With a candidate who is absolutely loved by the social conservatives.
And, so, of course, the one thing that we forgot to mention, or I didn't mention, is the hurricane was out there, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, George Bush was not at the convention because he was criticized, and people were very angry for his handling of Hurricane Katrina. So he was there, you know, as close as he could be, trying to make sure that everybody got what they needed if the hurricane hit or, you know, tropical storm hit or whatever. Those people's needs were being met and their safety was being made a priority. So I think everybody is saying, well, there was a hurricane too, so, you know, it's throwing a monkey wrench into things. Anyway, before we go back to the phones, I wanted to mention just quickly one of the things that came out today, and I mentioned it. This is the Frontiersman today has been talking about Wasilla being under the microscope. Of course, they were the local paper. I tried to get someone here from the Frontiersman, but they are busy doing their work today, so sorry about that. Anyway, we'll try for another time. But I wanted to go to a story that's breaking today. Palin was a director of embattled Senator Stevens 527 group, and we're probably going to hear more about this, maybe more in Alaska, but it's the author is Matthew Mosk. Alaska Governor Sarah Palin began building clout in her state's political circles in part by serving as a director of an independent political group organized by the now embattled Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. Palin's name is listed on 2003 incorporation papers of the, quote, Ted Stevens Excellence in Public Service, Inc. That's a 527 group that could raise unlimited funds from corporate donors, and it was designed to serve as a political boot camp for Republican women in the state. She served as one of three directors until June 2005, when her name was replaced on state filings. And so they're pointing to her relationship going back to Stevens for a number of years. And then Palin, an anti-corruption crusader in Alaska, had called on Stevens to be open about the issues behind the investigation, held a joint news conference with him in July before he was indicted to make clear she had not abandoned him politically. And Stevens had been helpful to Palin during her run for governor, and it goes on kind of enumerating all of the information leading up to today. But it also says, this particular group was legally allowed to raise as much money as they wanted from corporations or unions or unlimited donations from individuals, all of which would have been illegal for Stevens to do himself. At the time of the 2004 roll call report, Stevens' involvement was limited to some conversation with the group's board. He is, quote, he has just agreed that we can use his name, according to Gloria Shriver, the founder of the group and wife of Alaska Republican Party Chairman Randy Friedrich, told the paper he did say we could use his name and wished us the very best. There is no record in IRS filings. You can go and find this group under the Internal Revenue Service. It's listed there as the Ted Stevens Excellence in Public Service, Inc. group. Is this going to be something significant, Edgar, for news here in Alaska? I mean, she's working with Randy Friedrich's wife, the head of the Republican Party, whom she's been estranged from over the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission.
Well, this is just the beginning. If Sarah is nominated, and most people believe that she will be nominated by the end of the convention, it's just the beginning of the kind of scrutiny that Alaskans who are very close to Sarah Palin will be put under. The microscope will be all over. The major newspapers in the country have sent people or sending people to Alaska to interview people who work in state government. They're going to go through every public filing, I believe, of the city of Wasilla, every borough filing in the Mattsu borough, every email, every telephone call, everything that goes on within the office of the governor in the past 2 years. And these guys are barracudas. They're tough. They know freedom of information. They know how to get information. They will talk to people on the side, outside, and they will find ways to get the information. This is just the beginning. And if there are any rocks that are uncovered, or yet to be uncovered, this is going to be the time that we will find out.
Right, and this is the kind of stuff that a more experienced national figure would have gone through for the last 10, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So all this is being compressed in time. Everybody's caught off guard. Again, as I said, the social conservatives are giddy with delight, and everybody else is kind of saying, who is this woman? And, you know, is Alaska state? You know, all the kind of stuff that we hear when we travel outside.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, right, Edgar's absolutely right. There will be a full court press. No stone will remain unturned. And I just assume, I hope, for her sake and our sake as citizens, that what is uncovered is actually either innocent or naive or whatever. I mean, again, we don't know that much about her herself.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, we were all shocked. It's a five-day story that's that continues. Her speech tonight will be a kind of demarcation point between this early celebration that takes many forms. And then the seriousness of the full campaign. And
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the airport baggage handlers will be seeing lots of baggage from New York and Washington and L.A. and Seattle, and the AP is going to be working overtime. So Larry Campbell down there in AP used to be the bureau chief here, is now assistant bureau chief down there. I'm sure they're sending their folks up. And
yeah, and
it's
I
a big story.
And I think all of the complaints that people have had about the Alaska media blaming them for, you know, digging up stuff is going to make us look like a bunch of babies.
Actually, you know, Nellie, what I think is going to look like at the end is that Alaska media hasn't done their job. If they find anything, if they find anything on Governor Palin or anything in her administration, they're going to say the Alaska media did not do its job.
Well, even further, yes, I agree with that. And even further back, I mean, all of this corruption business that's been going on for years, come on.
Well, but the difference, I mean, again, to say the Alaska media hasn't done its job, I mean, I think that, again, that can be said. But if you look at the numbers of people and the time on task,
yes.
So, you know, what you've got is McClatchy newspaper that has fewer reporters than it had a number of years ago, the Frontiersman, I mean, they just don't have the resources. Plus, we're kind of trusting people in some respect, but that's not what we're going to see, and it'll be again part of the circus. It will be very interesting. I assume, again, I said this before, but I assume that anyone who willingly accepts an invitation for such a high level from such a far distant point is convinced in their heart of hearts that there was this little problem, but it was no big deal, or that little problem. The question is, will it accumulate such that the candidate looks tainted? And then the real issue is, given the undecided voters, given the 18 million women that the Republican Party seems to think are on the table, what percentage of those folks are going to kind of move in one direction or the other? And I don't see any movement right now.
I don't either. I think they're waiting, like you said, for the speech.
That's right.
Okay, we've got to pick up some of these phone calls now. Our local number, 5508433, what makes a story, particularly in light of all the current political turmoil, hurricane going on right now. Toll free 1-888-353-5752. Eric on line 7. Welcome to the show. Thanks for waiting, Eric.
Hi, yes, I was calling about this. The trooper, I can't remember his name, Wooten.
Yes.
Basically, it sounds like the allegations are that he did threaten the life of the Palins. I know it's a real frustrating. Really frustrating to deal with the state myself, but I do see the rationale of trying to approach the Department of Public Safety head and try to get something done. And if he doesn't do anything, then you know, where's the liability if that did actually happen? You know, how does the state justify the fact that a trooper is threatening the life of the governor? And the Department of Public Safety officer, the head, isn't doing anything about it. And that's a really big issue, the way I feel, is that, you know, it's a real frustrating thing to do, to work with the state to get something done if there is a real threat against a person's life.
Oh.
And I just think it seems like a scandal, but really when it comes down to it, we can't have troopers going around shooting the governor.
And I think one of the things that nobody has really talked about either are the kids. You know, where do they play in this situation? You know, what were the children in danger? Or, you know, what kind of things do those kids take away from this whole situation? It's I'm sure there's more to come on that. Let's see. Let's go to... David on line 4. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Nellie. Thanks for the program. I always like your show.
Thanks.
It all goes back for me, the whole blog talk and all the stuff about Governor Palin, to Senator McCain's choice of her as a vice presidential candidate. He had at least a half dozen responsible choices, people whose views are known, and more importantly, are known to have views. And it's, you know, it's pretty clearly established at this point that Governor Palin wasn't very well researched by him. I've read, you know, I'm reading articles in the Daily News, New York Times, Los Angeles Times, and, you know, none of the kind of structure of Alaska politics nobody indicates that they were questioned about her by any of Senator McCain's people. For me, when you put something, you put a person out like that to potentially be the leader of the free world, you're throwing, you know, a piece of candy out in front of a bunch of kids. And, you know, and there's and to top it off, he's not allowing her to come out and speak freely with the press and dispel, you know, people's fears that she hasn't put much thought into things on an international scale. So for me, this whole kind of ugly media debacle lies in the lap of Senator McCain. And, I, you know, for me, this is his first presidential act. And I think it's very poorly thought out. And I think it indicates a real cavalier, irresponsible attitude towards the job. And I, you know, and in a time when we have our neighbors deployed in Iraq and, you know, economy's looking a little grim, I don't really care. You know, I feel for Governor Palin's daughter. It's none of my business. I don't want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let her out of the hotel room and let her talk to reporters. Let us find out what she knows, what she's conversant with. It all goes back to Senator McCain for me.
Well, I think the caller is absolutely right. It was his first major decision. And I assume that, again, I keep going back to this, but this is, again, a 5 or 6 day process, the first 5 or 6 days of what's going to be a 2.5 month process. So I would assume that at following her speech tonight that she will be speaking to, you know, journalists and members of the media. But it was an interesting gamble, and I have to use that phrase seriously. I mean, the numbers seem to suggest, and the enthusiasm, the coverage of Senator Obama was such that I think the Republicans were looking at
something dramatic,
and looking at their core, very loyal base, basically saying we are not going to be excited about Joe Lieberman. I mean, that's been said over and over again. Mm-hmm. So, like everybody else, I've been flipping around from every cable channel and listening to as much radio as I can and reading as many sources as I can. So it will be very interesting. I think the previous caller is absolutely correct. Is this a lapse in judgment?
Can I add one more thing, too?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I've been kind of obsessively watching this stuff on the news whenever I get a chance. And I just before I called in, there was a posting on the LA Times, which LA Times I never even really thought of till now, but they had a great link to an NBC News coverage of the Republican convention, and it was one of the reporters talking with Peggy Noonan, who's a Republican strategist, and another gentleman who is another high-level Republican strategist who I don't know, and their audio was picked up after the cameras went off.
I heard that.
And they are just apoplectic about mm-hmm. the choice of Governor or Senator McCain's.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy Noonan says it's over. He blew it. You know, mm-hmm. And he goes down the list of all the, you know, governors who would have been fantastic choices for the country, not necessarily for John McCain's campaign. And I think that's the ultimate thing here is we're suffering from John McCain's thinking about John McCain, not about the country.
Okay. Thanks for your call, David. I did want to throw out one other thought because I can. it's been reported in Anchorage here on Progressive Talk Radio 1080, one of another radio station, and quoted from a non-disclosed judicial source that Track Palin was the unidentified minor who was involved with the vandalism on Wasilla of a bunch of buses. He was 16 at the time, and there is a news article that relates back to it. And the judicial source's reason for disclosing the data was that it's going to be released sooner or later. And even more interesting, this is a blog, of course, Democratic Underground, take that into consideration. Even more interesting is the fact that the Alaska State Troopers did the investigation and report on the incident to add fuel to the fire, as if we don't have enough They didn't say that. Trooper Wooten, the Trooper Palin has tried to get removed from the state troopers, was assigned to that post and may have worked on the case. Notice it says may. They're looking for the police reports to track that down. But rumors are circulating, of course, and have been in the past about Track Palin being forced to accept military service or jail time. Edgar, what will this do to the campaign if it's true?
Well, I didn't hear those rumors, and I'm sitting here wondering if it's all over. And you know,
already.
And this has happened before in national campaigns back in the 1960s. I believe it was 1968 when Senator McCarthy from, Wisconsin? And selected Senator Thomas Eagleton from Missouri to be his running mate. And then a few days later, it was the information was released that he had gone in to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and that blew the campaign, and Senator McCarthy removed him immediately from the Democratic ticket. I don't know if this is going to happen. I'm just stunned that all this seems to happen all at once, and there's so much new information that's being uncovered.
Every practically every minute.
Every minute. And, you know, just before I came here, Nellie, I was just doing some quick search of stories on the national, the webs here. And then, you know, the New York Times, Palin's start in Alaska, not politics as usual, and goes into these discussions in the city of Wasilla. One of the discussions is whether she had even suggested that they burn books that she didn't like at the Wasilla Public Library. That's out of the New York Times. Then you have an op-ed columnist from the New York Times who's talking about Sarah Palin and, you know, the new information that keeps arising. The St. Louis Dispatch, you know, abortion, the abortion issue is now the issue of the Republican mm-hmm. Party. And now, and then you hear this morning in the Seattle Times, you have as small town mayor, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin embraced earmarks. And when she was introduced by Senator McCain, Senator McCain praised her for mm-hmm. saying no more earmarks. You know, this is all coming, this is all over the country. This isn't one media, this isn't one newspaper or one wire service. This is coming from all over the place. And this is a big story. And, you know, there are probably more reporters in Wasilla than there are residents of Wasilla right now.
And as a matter of fact, speaking of the abortion thing, you know, Palin and McCain are both abstinence only as far as an anti-sex education, which both, or at least McCain, has cut funding for sex education in the past. And so it's going to be real interesting to hear. And then just to kind of follow up on what Edgar said, is that Palin, while she was the head of Wasilla, hired a lobbying firm, and they secured $27 million in federal earmarks for a town of 6,700 residents. This is the Washington Post. While she was its mayor, according to an analysis by an independent government watchdog group, of course, a GAO, so that says there was $500,000 for a youth shelter, $1.9 million for a transportation hub, almost $1 million for sewer repairs, and $15 million for a rail project intended to benefit Wasilla. And also looks like there may have been something in there for a hockey rink. So that's all going to come floating out of the news. And she hired the same company, Silver's firm, which also used Ben Stevens. So there's going to be, I mean, everything is going to be just swirling around, I think, 40 times larger. And now, with the appearance of Levi Johnston, the father of Bristol Palin's baby, he had on the internet, his website is very colorful language before it was taken down. The New York Daily News published it, and it talks about how Bristol and Levi have been dating for about a year. They've been together quite a while, it says. And then on his post, his MySpace page, Johnson boasts, "I'm a bleeping redneck who likes to snowboard and ride dirt bikes, but I live to play hockey. I like to go camping and hang out with the boys, do some fishing, shoot some bleeping, and just bleeping chilling, I guess. I'm adding the bleeping." And then he says, "You bleep with me, I'll bleep your bleep," he added. And he also claims to be in a relationship, but states, "I don't want kids." Well, surprise, surprise. Are we picking on Governor Palin too hard?
No, just in defense of Governor Palin. You know, I'm a small town mayor, and or was a small town mayor. And, you know, I did go back to Washington, D.C. several times, as is the business of a small town mayor, is to seek someone else to pay for local projects. And since we had a powerful United States senator, a powerful U.S. congressman, we always went back to Washington, D.C. to find out who would pay for paving the streets in downtown Seward or the Seward Highway, who would fix up the boat harbor or expand the boat harbor.
Put the water tank in Kotzebue.
Put the water tank. It's all earmarks. It's all federal appropriations because that's what we asked for. And to defend Governor Palin, you know, why should we pay for the things through taxes ourselves? I mean, if the government is sitting there, let the government pay for it. If it's a government in faraway Juneau, or faraway Washington, D.C., let them pay for it. That has been the agenda, I think, of most successful small town mayors or city council people, mm-hmm, is get mm-hmm. someone else to pay for it. Why raise taxes on yourself?
Okay, and I just wanted to fix one little thing here. It was Senator McGovern who chose Eagleton, I believe.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Made a little misstep there. That's okay. We're going to go to the phone. Sorry, Mary on line 5. Uh-oh, sorry, Mary. She waited. I guess we'll go to Tom on line 10. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Yes, good afternoon. I was hoping to address the question about just how much the pregnancy should be at issue in the national press, but I thought it was more appropriate to set the facts straight first on the Troopergate issue. And
I don't know what's happening, but you're really breaking up right now. Are you on? Can you? Are you walking around?
Okay. Well,
maybe I can get you to call back on a landline or something, but we cannot understand you. I'm sorry, Tom, if you can find another phone or something. Troopergate, he wants to talk about that, so hopefully he'll be able to connect with us. Reconnect. Are we going at this too hard? I mean, if you're a Palin supporter and you're from the Valley, wouldn't you feel like this is just another, you know, attack on Governor Palin, who has, you know, shown a lot of initiative and courage against the good old boys, as many people like to call the system. Fred, we can put you in the hot seat since you're the chair of the Department of Journalism and Public Communications.
And a good old boy. It's actually more of an indictment of us in the sense that this was the way we did business. And there were various people saying that, you know, maybe we're too hooked on federal money, we're too hooked on our powerful representatives. And this is going on, I've been in Alaska 20 years. I mean, this discussion has been going on. And it just struck me when we were talking about this, it's kind of like, you grow up in a house and you have a way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you go to dinner at someone else's house and they're eating peas with a knife. Mm-hmm. And you just say, that's very odd. So I think a lot of this is just the oddity that is Alaska, and that's really all of us. What's interesting is I assume at some point that the candidate, Senator McCain, said to Governor Palin, okay, give it to me straight. What skeletons do you have in your closet? And if you don't think you have skeletons, you know, if the culture is I'm a bleeping hockey player or whatever, or I do this, or we get earmarks or whatever, it might not ever dawn on you that this is going to be seen by another group as a problem. And so, again, you look at the amount of subsidies coming out of our congressional delegation per person versus other states, and that number just jumps right off the page. And this is, again, the stuff that now the national media, which was attending to Senator Stevens, who may be the beneficiary of all this in the sense that attention is now elsewhere, But it looks like a very odd group of people that have elected a person, and suddenly the person's thrust on the stage, and there's lots of answers. Obviously, I think that there are going to be some people who are going to say her position on abortion or her social conservative agenda is all I wanted. That's what I'm going to go for. And mm-hmm. then you have the other group that coming out of the Obama excitement are going to say, no, that's exactly what we don't want. So there's no real discourse here. And when the media gets blamed from both sides, it suggests to me that we must be doing something right in some overall sense. And all we're doing, all our professional colleagues are doing, is basically saying, look, we didn't see this story coming. We've been on it for 6 days, and this is what we do when we have the time and the budget to do it. And that's what we're seeing.
And I have to say, Edgar, I myself have said many times that having lived in rural Alaska for most of my life, that is basically how things get done in rural Alaska. You're not going to get a bridge over the Selawik River without pulling some kind of shenanigans. I mean, who cares if there's a bridge over, you know, one channel of the Selawik River, or, you know, fixing up the airport in Coba because it flooded.
Well, and so, I reminded some various people, because I was back east when the Bridge to Nowhere story broke. In 1932, the bridge from Fort Washington, New York, to Fort Lee, New Jersey, was a bridge to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did is it presumably the same thing behind the bridge over the Kinnick Inlet. The whole idea was to open up land for suburbs and so on and so forth. So it depends on how you kind of bracket these things. But we are not alone in
bridges to nowhere.
So
railroads to nowhere.
Yeah, or how about tropical rainforests in the middle of Iowa? I mean, there were all sorts of silliness.
Or
there.
Barley projects in Delta.
Yeah. Yeah, and on and on and on.
Okay, you are listening to Community Forum on KSKA. I'm your host, Nellie Moore. Today, my guest from the Department of Journalism and Public Communications, Dr. Fred Pierce, who is chair of the department, and Edgar Blatchford, who is an associate professor at the same department and is also a guest on frequent guest on Anchorage Edition. I do want to remind our listeners again, All Things Considered will air from 4 to 5 o'clock tonight. KSKA will broadcast Alaska News Nightly, yay, live at 5, followed by the Republican National Convention coverage from NPR. Sarah Palin is expected to speak at 6:30 our time, so be sure to tune on at that time. Marketplace is scheduled to follow convention coverage here on FM 91.1. And let's see, KACAM Channel 7 Television will air coverage of the conventions from 7 to 10. So there's lots of stuff available out there. If you haven't seen it already, it is there. So what about, you sort of touched on Ted Stevens there. Is, you know, he's in the middle of... Edgar, he fought for and got a speedy trial. He didn't get his change of venue to Alaska, so he'll be tried in Washington. Is all of this going to help or hurt at all, or public attention is going to sway away from him?
I think public attention has already started to sway away from Senator Stevens. You know, he's still fighting for the right to run for election, and he's doing a good campaign now. And but this has drawn a lot of that attention away. But the problem for Senator Stevens and Senator Palin, if it goes south with Governor Palin, if it goes south with the two of them, they are both members of the Republican Party, and so there are political consequences to anybody who happens to be in Republican politics right now. There's a lot at stake for the party and for those people who mm-hmm. Have the same special interests or the same concerns and the same social agenda involved in the Republican Party platform. So it would be a good year, I suppose, to be a good Democrat. But it's all politics, and politics in this day and age of the internet, the agenda can change quickly, very, very quickly. And after tonight's speech, Sarah Palin could be riding pretty high in a horse and doing a very good job for the Republican Party and for America. But we won't know that until after the speech.
Well, she's been thrust on the national stage. And, you know, one of the previous callers mentions about Peggy Noonan and the off-mic comment. I'm sure the folks within the Republican Party right now at the national level are torn in the same way, that There were other candidates who, Mitt Romney, who had experience and, you know, name recognition, so on and so forth. Again, I think it's clear from my point of view, this was designed to placate the social conservatives who have been screaming for years that the Republican Party is drifting away from them. What is interesting is that, and this is really kind of down the road, but there's a strong possibility here, and I think Governor Palin is a gifted speaker, and she's quite quick on her feet, that this could fracture the Republican Party, but she could emerge as suddenly a national player down the road.
Mm-hmm.
There have been any instances of folks have been thrust into the spotlight. We're talking about unprepared. President Truman was viewed as a joke in the Senate, and suddenly, you know, he was the choice that nobody expected. Here, Franklin Roosevelt was seriously ill at that point, and that was well known in the inner circles. He went on to be a very strong president, whether you like him or not, is, I think, a function of how you feel about other issues.
And even McCain was saying that Obama was unprepared.
Absolutely. You know, and notice, I think, thankfully, we didn't talk about that here, because, again, that's where you get this fractured discussion. I think someone put it as well, very well, that it may be the case that Governor Palin is more prepared to be more prepared to be vice president than Senator Obama is prepared to be president. So that's why we have the public dialogue.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Anna Marie on line two. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello. I just wanted to comment on Bristol and Levi and just say that it really would be appropriate to leave him out of the picture, as Obama said.
Yes, and I think in the past, I think that everybody's been saying that had been kind of an unspoken agreement that candidates' children, you know, were not to be included in the debate of the candidacy. I think...
And also, you know, they are still kids. At 17 years old, they made a mistake and now are thrust in the spotlight. But I also think in what they say or do, they're kids and ready to be adults, but yet they're not running for the office.
Thank you, Anna Marie. We're going to go to David now on line one. Welcome to the show. Hi, David. Okay, line three. We'll move on now to Tyler. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to know, as Governor Palin had been saying that she stood up to Ted Stevens, or if the press has, and what was the instance that she did, and that she had given back the Bridges to Nowhere money? I don't remember seeing that in the paper.
That was in speaking during her vice presidential, when McCain said, "This is Sarah Palin, she's my pick." She brought up that she had said, "We don't need the money for the Bridges to Nowhere." Did I say that right, Fred?
I think she said it was not her administration's main concern. So basically she was kind of politely saying, this is not our major agenda, and therefore...
We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Thank you guys for being here. Dr. Fred Pearson, Edgar Blatchford, professor.
Always a pleasure.
From Journalism and Public Communications.
Thank you.
I'll see you next week on Community Forum.
Community Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us, KSKA 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska 99508, or email us at communityforum@kska.org. Additional information on today's show topic, including relevant website links, will be posted along with audio of today's program on our website at kska.org/communityforum. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.